Listen, and you shall hear a story about a night long, long ago, the night of the 18th of April, in the year 1775. In the city of Boston, by the cold gray sea, there lived a man named Paul Revere. He was not a soldier. He was not a king or a general. By day, Paul Revere was a silversmith. All day long, he sat at his workbench, shaping silver into spoons and buckles and bowls and bells, tap, tap, tapping with a small bright hammer. He had clever hands and a steady heart, and he knew the streets of Boston the way you know your own house in the dark. Every corner, every doorway, every place a man might turn. Now, in those days, the land was full of worry. The people who lived in America were ruled by a king far across the ocean, and his soldiers were everywhere in Boston, and the people and the soldiers did not agree. You could feel the trouble in the air, the way you can feel a thunderstorm coming long before you hear it. A heaviness, a waiting. Paul Revere did not wait alone. He belonged to a whole group of friends and neighbors who kept watch over the city. They watched the soldiers. They counted them. They listened at windows and they whispered in doorways, and they were always, always ready. And then, one cold spring night, the watching paid off. The word came. The king's soldiers were going to march that very night, out of Boston, into the dark countryside, all the way to the towns of Lexington and Concord. They meant to take the colonists' gunpowder. They meant, perhaps, to capture two important leaders. And somebody had to ride out ahead of them through the night and wake every farmhouse along the way. Days before, Paul Revere and his friends had made a clever plan, a plan made of light. High above Boston stood the Old North Church, with a steeple that reached up into the sky. If you hung lanterns up in that steeple, people for miles around could see them shine. So this was the plan. One lantern would mean the soldiers were leaving by land, marching out over the narrow neck of the city. Two lanterns would mean they were crossing the wide river in boats. It was a message, you see. A message anyone could read just by looking up. That night, all eyes turned to the dark shape of the steeple. And there, high up, small and golden against the black sky, a light. And then, beside it, a second light. Two lanterns. Two. The soldiers were coming by sea. Paul Revere did not ride out into the night all alone, a single hero against the world. He never meant to. He was one rider among several, one watchful man doing his part in a much bigger plan. But first, Paul Revere had to get out of Boston without being caught. So two of his friends took him down to the water's edge, to a little rowboat waiting in the dark. They had a clever trick ready. They wrapped soft cloth around the oars, so that when the oars dipped into the water, they would not splash or thump or clunk. They would only whisper. The Charles River was wide and black and very still. Out on that black water sat a great British warship, a huge dark shape with sleeping sails, full of sleeping sailors. The little rowboat slid out from the shore. Each dip of the oars was no louder than a whisper. Closer and closer to the warship they crept, holding their breath, and then alongside it, right under its tall side. And not one sailor woke, and not one voice called out. The little boat slipped past like a shadow and reached the far shore. And there, in the village of Charlestown, a horse stood waiting for him in the dark, stamping and ready. Paul Revere climbed up into the saddle, gathered the reins in his clever silversmith hands, and turned the horse toward Lexington. And he rode. The night air was cold and clean, the stars scattered bright above him, and under him the horse ran, hooves drumming on the hard dirt road, clip-clop, fast as a heartbeat. But listen! Paul Revere did not gallop through the sleeping towns, shouting and hollering and waking the babies. That is not how it happened. He rode quietly and quickly from farmhouse to farmhouse, and at each one he leaned down and knocked and called out low and urgent through the door, "The soldiers are coming out, and inside, a candle would glow awake. A father would pull on his boots. A boy would run to the next house, and that house would wake the next. And somewhere, a church bell would begin to ring out over the fields. And so the warning spread across the dark land, like ripples spreading across a quiet pond. Near midnight, Paul Revere came clattering into Lexington, and he warned the two important leaders there, and they slipped safely away into the night. At the very same time that Paul Revere set out, another man named William Dawes was sent on the very same errand to carry the same warning, but by a different road. Two riders, two roads. That way, if one was caught, the other might still get through. It was wise. It was careful. It was never meant to rest on one man's shoulders. And as Revere and Dawes rode on together from Lexington toward Concord, a third rider came galloping up to join them. A young doctor named Samuel Prescott, who had been visiting a sweetheart in Lexington and was riding home late, and who knew that countryside, every field and fence and footpath, better than almost anyone alive. Three riders now, hurrying through the dark toward Concord. And then it happened. On the road ahead, British soldiers on patrol stepped out of the shadows and stopped them. They caught Paul Revere. They held him, and they questioned him, and they took away his borrowed horse. And just like that, his famous ride was over, ended in a dark field still miles from Concord. William Dawes turned his horse and got away into the dark. And young Dr. Prescott, quick and bold and sure, put his horse straight at a low stone wall, jumped it, and vanished into the dark fields he knew so well. It was Dr. Prescott, and not Paul Revere, who carried the warning the last miles into Concord that night. The midnight ride was never one man on one horse. It was Revere and Dawes and Prescott. It was the two friends who muffled the oars and rode in the dark. It was whoever climbed that steeple to hang the lanterns. It was every farmer who woke and pulled on his boots, and every child who ran to the next house, and every hand that pulled a bell rope in the cold. The warning belonged to a whole watchful countryside, all of them awake together in the night. And when the sun came up on the 19th of April, the soldiers marched into Lexington, and the people were awake, and ready, and waiting for them. That was the morning the long struggle for America began. As for Paul Revere, he lived a good long life after that night. He went home to Boston and back to his quiet workshop and back to his little hammer, tap, tap, tapping the bright silver. An ordinary man with clever hands who had done one brave and important thing. Many years later, a poet wrote a famous poem about Paul Revere, and the poem made him a hero known all over the land. But the warning that night belonged to all of them, every single person who rode and woke and rang a bell and passed the word along.